Well, good morning and welcome here this morning. We're glad that you're with us. This is our first Sunday of Mission Emphasis Month, and it's an opportunity for us to get better acquainted with our missionaries and different ones that we have opportunity to support and some that will be coming in. There's some newer ones as well that we're going to be sharing in their ministries over the course of this month. And so today kicks off our first Sunday, and we're excited to have Roy Seals working here locally in missions as a director at Global Faith. What's the last part? Yeah, that's right, Global Faith Mission Agencies, all right. And known Roy for many, many years, and ever since I was a pup, basically. And he's just very young, and so we're glad to have him. And he's going to be speaking this Sunday as well as next Sunday. It's also good to have Judy Bowen with us. And she is coming all the way from Togo and is here representing various ministries that she's a part of there. And one of the things that she does have with her while she's here with us today are several books, pictures, and things that she has collected and has put into print. And I think over the years, some of you have had opportunity to enjoy her works. And so hopefully you'll make sure to stop back there and check that out as well. We're working through some technological things, and I put Judy through the ringer here today because we had some guffaws on my end, and so it's not on hers, and trying to get videos and things like that to show, and so it is something we're working through in a new facility, working under some new situations and things like that, and hopefully that will start working. I appreciate our team back there working with my ineptitude of seeing that. I don't like Gmail. It stacks up all the emails, and I had it back and forth, and she gave it to me in plenty of time, and I just didn't see it, so it's on me. I apologize for that. Well, we're also glad to have Tom and Linda Schreeder here with us, and glad that you're with us this morning and coming in from Armenia, and they mentioned that their country is in some chaos right now, it sounds like, and just a day after you left, if I'm not mistaken, I guess there was some movement towards, was it civil war or is it a conflict, a border conflicts and things like that? And so just be in prayer as they're here in the States safely, but I'm sure there are a lot of people back there that are on their hearts as they're going through this in their country of where they're serving. So it's good to have them with us, and we appreciate Oksana and Sarah, and thank you for visiting with us here this morning. Well, we're grateful for the opportunity to be thinking about what missions means and things of this nature, and thinking about a lot of what we have seen over the last few months. It's great to be able to finally invite missionaries into our pulpit and to be able to share in our churches. Due to COVID, a lot of these missionaries have been restricted, unable to really travel and be able to get under exposed again into churches. And so we're glad to be able to start doing this again. And in light of missions and thinking about what our objective is, I'm also glad that what we're trying to do here as a church is starting to really ramp back up again. Even though we're using borrowed facilities and we have a campus that for now is still in the midst of change and transition, we're grateful to be able to start again in some ministries. And so inside of your bulletin there this morning, you'll see that there is a form there that indicates a half sheet of paper where we have some different classes, some different groups that are going to be meeting over the next few weeks and months. And so the hope is that you'll look at that and that you'll get engaged again. We have some Sunday school classes going to be starting. We have some specific men and women studies. There are some targeted topics and discussion, and but the need is for you to sign up. If you'll notice there on those different ones, Kelly O'Rear is leading a couple, and Sarah Beasley is leading the ladies' study. And so the goal is to get us engaged again, get our hearts back into motion, and studying God's Word again together in small groups. And so we need you to sign up for that. There are a couple of clipboards back there in the back in the foyer, and I hope that you'll do that as we start getting engaged again, one with another, encouraging one another. Now, the theme for this missions conference month, and thinking about that, is the world at your doorstep. And one of the challenges that I've had in thinking about what we would be looking at inside of this missions emphasis month is the fact that we get the opportunity to hit the reset button on what we're doing and why we do what we do. It's a way for us to focus on and to evaluate as a church our ministry objectives and our goals. And so thinking about that has challenged me to come back again to see that many times our heart's burden is so far away, and that we give and we give token thoughts and even maybe prayers and maybe even financially. But many times we need to be challenged and stirred again to think about those that are right in front of my life, right there at my own doorstep. And thinking about ministries that we have as a church, whether it be our Spanish ministry, whether it be ways that we're trying to reach our location here, but letting that grow as we then expand our territory. Thinking about then the challenge locally, and then also thinking about what God is doing globally. And so throughout this month, we're going to be stirred to recognize that there are ministries very much right at our doorstep that we should be thinking about that truly is reflective of a global representation. Places that are here within Chattanooga, also even in Atlanta, different places that we could be thinking about that is actually a global face. As many people are being brought into the United States and they're gathering in pockets and they're coming to be comfortable within ethnicities and groups, this is a way for us to minister into those situations. And those then have global impact because those families continue to reach families back in their own homelands. And so to think about it is the sense that we don't have to go very far to have a missions mindset. So this is our Jerusalem, Judea, but also then we begin to reach out into our Samarias and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so I hope that as we go through this month, our hearts will be challenged and stirred to think about missions on a global scale. But may we not miss the opportunities right outside of our front doors. We're glad that you're with us this morning. Looking forward to a great time here together, and hoping that our hearts will be encouraged as we sing, as we focus on seeing what God is doing around the world, and as we get opportunities to also rub shoulders again with our missionaries and to reacquaint ourselves with them. Let's stand together, and we're going to open with a word of prayer and give us opportunity to put our heart's attention. We know that there are those in our midst that are probably carrying some heavy loads. We have different ones who have gone on to be with the Lord throughout this week, and different ones that we're continuing to pray for. And so we just ask the Lord to give us peace and give us direction and a sense of His urgency to be busy about His business. Let's go to Him this morning, prepare our hearts to worship. Father, we're grateful for this day and grateful for each one that could be here with us this morning. And we pray for those who will be coming through this first service and then into the second. And Father, we ask that you would just encourage our hearts. May you give us again a vision, an enrichment of our thought about what you're trying to do, not just here, but globally. Lord, I pray for Judy and for Roy as they speak, as they share, as they remind us again of what you're doing in places here, but also far beyond our borders. Lord, we're grateful for the protection that you've given to the Schreeders as they've come, and I pray that you'll just give them refreshing time. But Lord, I pray that their hearts will be lightened by the knowledge that you are at work, even in countries that are dealing with threats and territorial borders and things of this nature. Father, we just pray for this region that, God, you would bring peace and that you would truly do it through the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage hearts and lives today. May we truly cherish what it is that you're doing. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified in everything that we do here today. We just ask, Lord, that you'll give us a heart again for the heartbeat that you possess to every soul, every person would come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and given the opportunity to receive him as their personal Savior. And so, Lord, I pray that the gospel is something that we would not be stingy about. But Lord, may we be sharing freely the good news. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. It is a privilege to be able to lead you in worshiping and lifting songs to our Lord this morning. Would you join me as we sing Crown Him with Many Crowns?
Awake, my soul, and sing. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
Oh, praise the name.
Judy to make ready to come here, and I was thinking about Revelation, you know, chapter 7, and he says, the elders, who are these people that are robed in white? And he says, you're the ones coming out of the great tribulation and so forth, and the, everything here in the sense of the shedding of the gospel and things of this nature. What I love about the way that Revelation, he talks about, you know, out of every tribe and tongue and nation, there is an expression of the glory of God, the presentation of the gospel, and things of this nature. And grateful for the seed planting that God has been doing globally through ministries like what Judy's involved with. Judy, you come and share an update with us, and glad that we'll be able to get her back, and hopefully in a couple of years when you get back here, if we're not all in heaven, we can share there a little more globally then. But maybe our technology will work a little better. I hope it will. But we won't need it up there. That's right. But share with us what you can about what's going on in the country where God has you, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Do we have anything? All right, we're gonna try to make this go. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you guys back there. I am thankful to be at Grace Baptist Church, and I didn't know if I would be able to come this time. We haven't known anything this year. The winds of change are blowing. They always blow, and this year they blew cataclysmically, didn't they? To put it mildly. My sister and I and her husband on April 12th were standing in our living room, standing in front of this massive TV. I mean, you had to be like 8 feet behind it to be able to see it, but we're standing right in front of it. And Paul Barris is saying, oh, Jenkins Road, oh, Holly Hills. And in real time, we're watching what was happening in Chattanooga from Harrison, and prepared to be downstairs in our basement as well and stay there. And the Lord allowed massive change in just a few seconds' time for Grace Baptist Church and for many homeowners. And so we have prayed for you, care about you, and thank the Lord that He absolutely does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's our rock. And that's amazing, because this is what I'm calling weird year 2020, and it's just really strange in every way. But thank the Lord, He remains the same, and He's faithful. And so I'm glad to be here with you. Just to give you a quick update, this isn't my normal 30-minute, presentation, but I have some prayer requests to bring to you for our ministries in Togo. And I appreciate very much the emphasis that you will have on ministry close at hand, our neighbors. And so I actually am working on a booklet. It's at press. It's being printed. It's a booklet of comfort, it's nature photography, and scriptures with a gospel presentation in the back. So I'll put that information out on Facebook. You'll have access to that to share with your neighbors. Just something to hand to somebody. If you need encouragement, just take a look at this. And we'll see how the Lord will use that as a very simple way to witness for Him, because His hand shows all over creation. And so we thank Him for that. So Grace Baptist Church, I thank you for praying and supporting me for, I don't even know how long. I've been coming to present here since before I left for Togo and or for the field or for language study in 1990, so we're getting to be a long way. And just thank you for your faithfulness. Thanks to the Maranatha class. I think a number of you are here at this service, and I appreciate your prayers and support. And thank you for letting me come. And so I just have a brief update for you. We're going to try to run this presentation. So you know where Togo is. You saw that on the screen. That's where I live right there. And I didn't realize how remote it was until I got up in the plane and took pictures from up there. But the ABWE Hospital is on that compound, as well as our housing. And the literature ministry is right there on that compound. And so there we are together, one of my old standby pictures there, Bible deliveries. So I work in literature, and that's my main ministry is literature distribution, acquisition. And that's our little bookstore. We're celebrating our 25th year anniversary in 2021. That's like 3 months away. And so that bookstore right there, when I get back to Togo, that's going to look completely different. It's been expanded and moved to a different part of the building. So a lot is going on in Togo right now. There are 800 titles of literature there in French. The Lord brought us from two gospel tracts to that point. And He's faithful, and He continues that work. So let's see if that next one will play the video. I don't know if it will or not, but let's see what it will do here. Anticipation's killing us. Anything? No? Okay. So, yeah, that's a video right there. It lasts about a minute. And the thing I wanted to point out to you from that video is the age of our presses. So if you would be praying for us about our equipment, that's one of our prayer requests, that the Lord would guide us, because going from old ABDIC 360 presses to state-of-the-art, it's not something that we would consider possible. Nothing is impossible with the Lord, but we're talking $500,000 to update and $5,000 a month to maintain. I don't think the Lord's leading us in that direction. So He's got a plan, and He'll show us what it is. All right, so you can go ahead and advance to radio in southern Togo is coming. I have wanted this since my first term. My first term was a long time ago, but I've learned that everything in God's timing. Everything in God's timing. So radio is happening. Right now, the groundwork is being laid. The Leathers family on that next picture. Daniel and Sherry and their kids were in Northern Togo. As you know, started Hope Radio. Hope Radio in the North is up and running and just moving right along, wonderful ministry. And finally, Southern Togo, where I am, is happening. And so that's the radio up north. There's so many stories I could tell you, but the Lord bringing Daniel and Sherry Leathers down to where I am, I did not see that coming. I found out that my colleagues that work with me were leaving before I even knew that Daniel and Sherry were considering a move. And so they're working in my building, in my office. So I'm just like, well, Lord, you had that one all planned out. And so I thank the Lord for their help in the literature, audiovisual, and radio ministry. So we can go to that next slide there. So we talk a lot about radio, we talk a lot about audio. We have an AV ministry that's developing, and one of our projects that if you read my prayer letters, if you're able to get those or see them through the church, is that we've been talking about the recording of the Eve Old Testament. You can find quite a few New Testaments free of charge in Eve and Kabye. Several of Togo's languages, New Testaments are available. We thank the Lord for that. We don't minimize that, but we need the whole counsel of God. And so we've been recording the Eve Old Testament. We're through 2 Kings. Our reader, who's my preferred reader to complete this, if the Lord will allow it, he has terrible back pain. He lives in Ghana. And so we're on hold at the moment, but praying that that we'll be able to complete the Old Testament in good time and make that available. So we would pray that for many of the languages, that the whole Word of God would be available in audio. Audio has its place. Literacy, however, I don't know if you can even imagine picking up this book and seeing this on the page and having no idea how to read it. So the next video that I don't know if it will play. Can you try that next one and see if it will play? All right, just next slide. Let's see if that will play. Nothing? Okay, that's all right. What I need to ask you to pray for on this is that the Lord will provide a person to oversee literacy in Togo. And that is just teaching people how to read the word. They're asking. We have one guy that's teaching literacy. And this video is the story of one of our pastor's wives. It's a sweet, sweet story because she asked her husband, she's like, I can see that you can read the word of God. I can't read the word of God. Can you just teach me a verse so that I can know it? And so she memorized Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. She memorized that verse. That's all she had. And so our pastor that teaches literacy, she was able to get into a class and learn to read the word. And her victory story is that now she can sit with the women in her church and share with them, counsel them from the word of God. Wonderful story. I thank the Lord for providing this story for us so that I can share it with you. And you can pray that of Togo's 43 languages, that someone would be willing to come and oversee literacy. So it's still with part of our ministry. I'm okay with that, but it's kind of limping along because one person, one ministry can only do so much. And so to have someone come and do this would be huge. Funding also is important for literacy because the guy that does it, we need several more people working in it. And it costs money to get on your moto and keep it maintained and go and teach trainers for literacy. So pray for that with us. Pray for our developing radio ministry, as I've mentioned. Pray that the Lord will guide us in our presses. For myself, I'm leaving in 3 weeks. I'm on that emotional roller coaster of, I can't wait to get back. Oh, no, I dread leaving. So my parents are aging. My sister takes care of them. She's between jobs. Debbie and Tom Chubbuck, you know them. She plays the piano in Ottawa at Providence Baptist. And pray that the Lord will see us through the separation. It's agonizing. You know, I'm just not going to just start crying right up here in front of you, but it's tough. So the Lord knows. But we look forward to getting back and being involved in what the Lord has for us. We thank him for his faithfulness.
I appreciate that, Judy. Thank you. And working under our circumstances as well. As we're mindful of these prayer requests, I hope that as we get updates and get opportunities, and I'm sure even in what Roy is going to be presenting in just a little bit, there are going to be opportunities for you to make some notes, to jot some things down, to be challenged with, and hold these things, be thinking about it. I mean, she's given us 3 things that we can pray about, three ways that we could contribute by either passing along names, people, or financially, the aging of their printing presses. We have the opportunity of a person to come help oversee these ministries to teach literacy, and then praying for her specifically as she travels back to Togo and to get again engaged. And as we think about that, also recognizing that there's a part of her heart that's staying here and the concern, the care for her parents and different ones that she cares about here. So make sure that you get by and talk with her. And she's, like I said, got things back there in the foyer that are available for you to examine, to look at, and to encourage her in her ministry, as she is also seeking to be an encouragement to us and to be thinking about the opportunity. I can't wait till we get, again, opportunities to start getting our teams going back overseas and helping in different places in the short-term mission trips and things like this. And so hoping that the Lord allow us to get back into Togo in the near future. Thank you, Judy. We appreciate that. Fred's going to come and lead us another song here as we make ready again for another transition, and looking forward to the next part of our service here this morning. Let's stand together and let's sing another song here together.
There is great hope in His name.
As I mentioned earlier, Roy Seals and I go way, way back, and I've just always appreciated, even in our first ministry when I was pastoring up in Virginia, I had Roy come, and we did something similar to this in taking a month, and we took different themes for each Sunday, and Roy came and gave us a challenge on reaching the field, reaching the hearts of, and having a global thought there on a particular missions emphasis Sunday. And moving here to Chattanooga has allowed us to reconnect and appreciate him and Edie. Edie is not able to be here, and she struggles physically with some different things, and specifically has a disease in her lungs that would make her very, very susceptible. And so she is taking extra precautions, which we totally understand. But just appreciate the opportunity to have her and have Roy, and without her even here, but hopefully maybe she's even watching, but at the same point. But we're just grateful for them and appreciate their ministry. I'm going to ask Roy to come and challenge us this morning. When Roy and I started talking about this a few months ago, I said there's a burden that I have to get us thinking about a multi-ethnic church. And understanding that the face of America is changing in a lot of ways, but what are we doing as a church to be very open to who God would bring into our sphere of influence? And what does it look like to be a church that is multi-ethnic? We have a Spanish ministry, and that is not something that I want as something just sitting on our bulletin as a token ministry, saying, oh yes, look at us, we have this. I really want it to be because we have a heart, a burden for reaching people and not letting the language barrier keep us from effectively doing so. But yet at the same time, what kind of a church are we in welcoming people to be a part of our assembly, to be a part of our church? and to be a multi-ethnic minded church. What about right here in our own assembly? Because then that challenges us as we're thinking globally. And so I've asked Roy to come and challenge us along some of those lines. And he's going to be with us today and then next Sunday. It's sort of a two-part thought. And I'll let him explain how that's going. But excited to have you with us this morning, brother.
Amen. All right, thank you, thank Pastor. You. It is good to be here today. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8, a well-known verse that teaches us so much about the missionary task that God has given us to do. It is a blessing to be with you again. It was 5 years ago that I spoke for the last time I spoke in your English church on the theme of missions, and so it's good to be back with you again. And I pray that this month will be a great blessing. I was here last Sunday. It was kind of a last-minute thing, but I was with your Spanish congregation, enjoyed being with them. And in fact, most of the times when I'm speaking, even locally here in the United States of America, I'm speaking to Spanish congregations, and that's been part of my life now for many, many years. Well, you've seen missions demonstrated this morning, or one of the principles of missions, and that is we have to be flexible and we have to be fluid and we have to just go with the flow. And Judy, you did a great job of just, okay, the video doesn't work, we'll just go right on. And so you just did a great job. You didn't let that get you down. We in America are so used to structure and everything has to be just right. And if things don't go just right, we get all flustered. But you know what? We just go on and do what we can. She mentioned something in one of her prayer requests, and that is that they need to update their printing presses. And once again, in the day and age of technology in which we live, we sometimes overlook the printed page now, because we're so geared to technology. And I don't know what it's like over in Africa, but where we were in Latin America, we had an extensive and still have an extensive literature outreach ministry. But the statistics were at one time that for every piece of literature, paper literature that is distributed, a tract, a Gospel of John, for every one, seven hands and sets of eyes see and touch that. 100 tracts can potentially reach 700 people. 1,000 Gospel pamphlets can potentially reach 7,000 people. So, technology, it's an older technology, it is still very effective, and we need to pray for those printing presses. You know, my part today will be with you to start in this matter of global missions without a passport. I come back next Sunday and we'll finish that up. You know the verse, many of you know it by memory. I read the verse today. The Bible says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we want to talk about global missions without a passport. We think about missions and we think about getting on an airplane and going to another country. In the old days, it was getting on a ship and going to another continent. We get off of our plane or the ship where we disembark and we have to go through immigration and customs and we have to pull out a passport and show that document so that we will be given a visa to visit that place. But the fact of the matter is that you and I can have a great missionary outreach without ever having a passport, without buying a plane ticket, right here in our country, within our own nation. We have great international opportunities. Today, I want to give you why we need to focus on reaching the world within our borders. And then next week, we'll talk about some of the logistics and the attitudes that we must have if we're to effectively obey the Great Commission. When we read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there are two things that come to mind. One is the fact that we need to be inspired of God to do the work that He wants us to do. And the Holy Spirit's presence and participation in missions is absolutely essential. We cannot effectively reach the world without the impact of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He impacts us, He empowers us, and He inspires us to go out and do what God the Father wants us to accomplish in global evangelism. But there's also information, and there's also instruction. And those two things are very important for any church to have an effective mission program. You have to have the inspiration and you have to have the right information. If you're inspired without information, then what in the world do we do? And if we have all the information without any inspiration, we won't be motivated to do a whole lot. And so we need those two things. And so we have the Holy Spirit mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but we have some instruction. We are to be witnesses. That is the primary purpose of the church. We are to witness to the world of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. We also are instructed as to where we are to go: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ultimately to the end of the earth. Now, that is simultaneous. While we're reaching our Jerusalem, we should be reaching the end of the earth. And that's why you have a mission conference and a mission program. That's why you support people like Judy. But one of the mistakes we often make in our American church is that to think that the progression of geographic areas mentioned here, which are four, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, we think that the further away you get from the Jerusalem, the greater the importance. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Jerusalem is just as important as the uttermost part of the earth. And so we must not neglect where we are. We must not neglect Chattanooga and Hamilton County and Tennessee and Georgia and the southeast area here, and then ultimately our own nation. What I'm going to say for the next few minutes may sound like social studies. We're not doing a social studies study today, all right? But I'm going to give you information, and this is not the typical way that I preach. But we said a moment ago we must be inspired and we must be informed. And what I want to do is impart just a little bit of information so that we can have a better understanding of why missions in the United States is important, why we are a mission field, and understand how we can help reach the world even within the borders of our own nation. So would you listen carefully as we begin to give out some stats and some information? First of all, we have to say that through world history, God has orchestrated migratory movements for the fulfillment of His plan. Immigration is nothing new. Immigration has been in and around since the book of Genesis. In the latter verses of Genesis 11 and on into Genesis chapter 12, we find that Abraham is led from Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan, and God gives this man a great promise. God orchestrated that migratory movement. He became the father of a great nation. Later on in the book of Genesis, we find that Joseph is sold into slavery and taken to Egypt by his own brothers, who meant it for harm, for bad, for evil. And yet God orchestrated that movement. God took Joseph and He put him in a place where he would suffer and where he would face adversity and he would face challenges. He overcame all of that with the help of God, and God greatly used him in that migratory movement. It prepared a place for the descendants of Jacob to go and survive the great famine and hardship that existed later on. Later on, four centuries later, we find another great migratory movement that God orchestrates and ordains. By now, the descendants of Jacob have multiplied, and they are a mighty nation, a populous nation, a threat, at least Pharaoh thought, a threat to the land of Egypt. And God lifts up Moses, and He puts him there as the leader to take these people back to the promised land. God orchestrated that migratory movement. It's all in the Bible. Daniel, a young man, probably around the age of 15 or 16, is taken from his land, his homeland, and along with thousands of other Hebrew people are taken into the Babylonian captivity. But God orchestrated that movement, and God ordained that young man to occupy a prominent place in the Babylonian Empire. And God used him not only to be involved in politics and government, but He also writes a very important book of the Bible that we still use today. We go to the New Testament and we see that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to migrate from Bethlehem to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. And then later on, they moved from Egypt to Nazareth, and that was all ordained of God. You go to the very last book of the Bible, and the man that wrote that, John, he is sent to the Isle of Patmos in exile. And God orchestrates that one-man migratory movement and uses him in that place to write a very important book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. You see, God has ordained migratory movements all the way back to the beginning of time. We focus now on our nation, and while we talk a lot about immigration, it is important to realize that immigration is not new in our country. In fact, the USA as it is today could not exist without immigration. A strong immigration movement from various places in Europe comes to live in this new land, a land of opportunities, and they build a nation. The United States, by the time it was established as a free nation, you had already had people here living for decades, even centuries, that had come from other areas of the world. Immigration is the foundation of our population. Unless you're 100% Native American today, and I don't think I see anybody in the congregation today that would fit that, every one of us have the blood of immigrants running in our veins. Every one of us. So immigration is part of our DNA here in this country. But we're not the only country. If you go to Europe, you'll find that there's a strong migratory movement that occurs there. People from challenged areas are moving to the areas that are more established and more stable. It happens all over the world. Years ago, when communism took over Nicaragua for a time, there was a strong migratory movement of Nicaraguans that went to Costa Rica trying to find a safer and a better place of life. That just was normal. When I go to South America, I find that in the country of Brazil, there are South Americans from other nations that go there seeking a better way of life. I would often preach in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and in the church there, most of the people were from Buenos Aires, but they also had several believers that had migrated to Argentina, primarily from the countries of Peru and Bolivia, seeking a better way of life. So we're not unique in this area of immigration. We're not the only place that migrants go to, but I will have to say that we are a drawing card to many, many people. There are more immigrants in the United States of America than in any other country of the world. And I have to say this. At this point, would you allow yourself to focus on what the scriptures have for us and not to politicize what we're going to be saying about the migratory movement? This is not about politics. This is not about your government preferences. This is something that happens all over the world, and I believe God's allowed to happen in our nation in our lifetime. More than 40 million people that currently live in the USA were born in another country. What that means is that within their lifetime, they've migrated to the United States of America. And then that population of over 40 million people who were born in other countries but now live here, almost every country of the world is represented in that group. The U.S. foreign-born population reached a record of 44.8 million people in the year 2018. And the increase we see in that can be traced back to 1965 when U.S. immigration laws replaced a national quota system. Since that time, the number of immigrants living in the U.S. has more than quadrupled. Today, immigrants account for almost 14% of the population of the United States of America. But here's an interesting thing. As high as that number is, it is lower than 1890. Yes, I'm talking the 19th century. In 1890, the percentage of foreign immigrants that came to America was greater than it is today. So this is nothing new. So why does all of this happen? We'll give a few reasons this morning. For one thing, the birth rate in our country has declined to the point where we can no longer maintain our population. Not only can we no longer maintain our population, but our population without the presence of immigrants would be diminishing greatly and significantly. The percentage of women giving birth here in the United States is higher amongst immigrants than it is amongst our people here. Now, think about it for a moment. When a society can no longer grow, when it can no longer even maintain its population base, when a society begins to decline in numbers, in population, it begins to decline in all other areas also. If your numbers decline, eventually things catch up, things snowball, and productivity begins to decline. If productivity begins to decline, so does economics. So the presence of immigrants here in our country is what allows us to have a population that not only maintains, but experiences a growth rate. Listen to this. Immigrants and their descendants are projected to account for 88% of U.S. population growth through the years 2065. And that will drive the future growth in the U.S. working age population. As the baby boom generation heads into retirement, immigrants and their children are expected to offset a decline in working age population by adding about 18 million people of working age between 2015 and 2035. In other words, we need somebody to come live here and be working so that baby boomers can retire and we can still go on. If not, you have an inverted population pyramid. In a population pyramid, when you have a broad base, that allows the people at the top of the pyramid, in this case age-wise, to be able to have somebody to help sustain them. You say, well, I have my retirement. Well, there's other things that go into place there and not just your retirement plan. When you have an inverted population pyramid and there's fewer people at the bottom than there at the top, that society will no longer be able to maintain the proper care of those who are elderly, and eventually their own future is in jeopardy. Now, I told you this would sound like social studies for just a moment. You didn't invite me here to talk about social studies. I really would not be a good social studies teacher. But it's important to be informed about the state of our nation today. Where are these immigrants coming from? Well, if you look at all the Mexican restaurants here in Chattanooga, you would think they all come from Mexico. And we do have, in our area, a lot of Hispanic immigrants. But the top countries of origin for new immigrants are now from China, India, and then Mexico. There are more Asian immigrants than Hispanic immigrants arriving now in the United States of America. If you've had the opportunity of traveling and getting out of our little area of the Southeast, and you realize that. If you go to the West Coast, where I've been, there's a strong Asian influence on the West Coast. Go to North, go to the New York City area, Philadelphia, and those metropolitan areas up there. There's a strong Asian, European, African influence there. The primary states where our immigrants are living now is in California, Texas, Florida, and New York. But they've also spread out. I've been speaking Spanish for 55 years since I went to the mission field with my parents. So I've been around the Spanish-speaking world. There was a time when in the United States of America, the Spanish-speaking population was concentrated in five areas. If you put your hand up representing the width of our country, the majority of Spanish population here in the United States for a long time was Southern California, Southern Texas, Southern Florida. A lot of Spanish-speaking people in Chicago, and the rest were in the New York City area. But several decades ago, those areas became saturated with the Spanish-speaking population, and so they began to branch out. We've seen that happen here. I went to Tennessee Temple in the mid-70s. We did not have a strong Hispanic population here in that area at that time, but now we have a very strong Hispanic population. If we have all these foreigners, that means we also have a lot of languages that are spoken here. Obviously, English is the language that most of us speak. The next language that is spoken is not a surprise, Spanish. There are over 40 million people that speak Spanish in our nation. The third most prominent languages come from China, and that includes Mandarin and Cantonese. Tagalog, a Filipino language, is also prominent. Vietnamese, Arabic, French, Korean, and many other languages that are spoken in our country. Let me take the Spanish language and put it into perspective for you. If you take the largest Spanish-speaking countries in the world, you would have Mexico at the top, then you would have Spain, you would have Colombia, Argentina, and then if you take the population of Spanish-speaking Hispanics in the United States of America, the United States would be the fifth largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. And it's important, so when you go to Taco Bell, you can make sure you get your order right and you don't have to point and say number three. You see, this thing about language is great. Did you know that the fastest growing language, though, even though Spanish is the largest spoken foreign language within our border, The fastest growing language in the USA is Telugu, which is from South India. In fact, the number of speakers of Telugu has grown by 86% in the last 7 years. What does that mean to you? It means that there's a strong migratory movement from that area coming over here right now. New York City has been classified as one of the most linguistically diverse regions in the world. Depending upon where you get your data from, there are between 600 and 800 languages and dialects that are spoken in the New York City area alone. That's a lot of people that speak a lot of different languages and not just Southern talk like we do here. They don't say y'all and, you know, stuff like that. So, where are these people coming from, or why do they come here? Let me just give you a couple of reasons. The United States of America still draws a lot of people because it is a land that is blessed with opportunities and resources. Do not let the current political scene and the divisiveness of our nation and the problems that exist blind you to the fact that our nation is still a drawing card, is still attractive. If you lived under the circumstances of some of the people that I engage with on a steady basis here in Chattanooga that have come from other countries, if you lived where they had to live and if you had to go through some of the things they had to live in, you would think that this is a pretty attractive place also. The United States still draws people from around the world. People come here also because of survival. Part of that is economic survival. Part of that is political survival. Did you know that genocide and ethnic cleansing continues to drive large numbers of people to leave their homeland and all they've ever known to go to other places just seeking to survive and live another day? Many of you know Darwin and Cindy Blandon. Their children have been through your school system. In fact, Melanie is still in your school system. And Darwin is the pastor of the Spanish ministry where I am heavily involved and engaged. But you need to have Darwin come over one day and just spend a Sunday with you and let him give his testimony of how God brought him from Nicaragua when communism had taken over and he came to the United States of America. That is an amazing testimony. You need to have him over here one day so he can tell you all about that. People come here because of the need to survive. People come here looking for education. Did you know that there are over 1 million foreign students in the USA each year? In fact, international students make up 5.5% of the total U.S. higher education population. They come looking to educate themselves, and in their cases, most of them will return to their countries. They come to study business and politics. Many of them will go back to their countries to be politicians. They come and study military strategy. They come for a variety of reasons. International students come from China, India, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, Canada, yes, Canada, Vietnam, Taiwan, and Japan. Now, one of the greatest dangers for the church in the United States of America is for us to develop tunnel vision and think that the only way we can reach the world is by going over there. Yes, we must do that. Yes, Judy needs to go back and be in the country where God has placed her. But church, God is doing something in our own nation today, in our own generation today, and we must not be blind to that. I believe with all my heart that God has orchestrated a migratory movement to the USA, and the responsibility of the church is to evangelize the millions who have come to our country. You don't have to have a passport. You don't have to buy a plane ticket. We can reach the people here. Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It is too easy to look at other people and the color of their skin and the ethnic diversity in our country and to be sidetracked and to be put off and not engage in the great opportunity of loving our neighbor and reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to see the opportunities. Don Arnold is a good friend of mine. Don will call me from time to time, and often it's late at night. 9:30 at night, One night he called 10 o'clock. Roy, I've got this guy with me from Mexico. He just arrived in the United States. He has no knowledge of English. Can you help him? Can you talk to him? He needs to hear a friendly voice. That's okay. I appreciate Don doing that. It lets me know also that Don is aware of the importance of reaching out to people that are different. They may not be able to speak English yet, but oh, what an opportunity the church has. My wife is watching the service today, so I'll say this. My wife has cystic fibrosis, which is a genetic disease. And ultimately, we came off the mission field because of the threat to her life because of this. We came back where she could have proper medical care and treatment. And one of the concerns I had at that time, because I'd grown up on the mission field, I'd grown up in Latin America, I'd been speaking and then as an adult missionary ministering in Spanish, which I so love. And one of the concerns I had was that in coming back to the United States of America, I would not have those opportunities anymore. And yet God placed us right here where on a weekly basis, we engage with the Hispanic population. One of the places I love to go to so often is in inner city New Jersey. If you've ever been to the Newark, Patterson, New Jersey area. I go to speak to Patterson. I've been speaking at the Madison Avenue Baptist Church up there for over 30 years. You just would not believe the diversity of ethnic groups that are up there. And I flew into the airport in Newark one day. You have three major airports in the New York area, Kennedy, LaGuardia, and Newark. And so I'm waiting for the people to pick me up from the church. And I'm standing there outside with my luggage waiting, and I look over and there was this people from Africa that were being embraced by their relatives that lived here, and all the smiles and the tears of joy at their reunion, and they were speaking some language I couldn't understand. And then I looked over to the other side of me and there were people from Asia. I think they were Koreans, I don't know. Korean and Spanish don't sound alike. And they were embracing and receiving their friends who had just arrived in the United States of America. And they also were weeping with the opportunity to see people they had not seen in a long time. And then there was a European language being spoken that I did not understand. And finally, after 10 minutes, I heard English. And then finally, somebody was speaking English in Newark, New Jersey. Let me tell you something. The world is here. And we have an opportunity to reach them. We live in a time and age where it's too easy to let the current political scene distract us from a commission Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago. The importance of your Chinese ministry you have here and their Spanish ministry cannot be overspoken, or we can't talk about it too much. It's important. In our Spanish ministry, where we have in the month of March, I looked across the table for the last time and saw a man named Eusebio. In our weekly Bible study that I do with the adults there, I was sitting in a room, crowded room with a lot of people, and I saw Eusebio. He was 42 years of age, came to the United States years ago, came to our Spanish ministry, heard the gospel, trusted Christ as Savior, has lived here for many years. When we had to go to heaven virtual services like you did for a long time, I didn't get to see him again. Third week of May, I heard that he had contracted the disease, COVID-19, and on May the 31st, he went out into eternity. And we were so saddened by the absence of our brother in Christ, but I immediately began to rejoice in the fact that there was an ethnic ministry that could reach out to people like Eusebio. One day, I'll get to spend eternity with him, and one day, I'd like that opportunity, if I could, of introducing you to Eusebio. And I want you to know that the reason why you have a Spanish ministry, and Doug Hodges will be preaching there in a few minutes, is because Jesus told us to do that in Acts chapter 1. Don't ignore your Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for that great commission you gave us. Help us to be aware of our opportunities and responsibilities. I pray in Jesus' name. Pastor.
Thank you, Roy. And I think the challenge before us is to take this part that he has given to us to think about the faces that you see each and every day, and to realize that there are opportunities galore all around us. And so many times we get even distracted to think about, even in our English speaking, we get inhibited, we get bashful with the sharing of the gospel. But to understand that as a church, as the body of Christ, let's not forsake the challenge that's presented to us to be reaching those who are right here, right on our own doorstep. As we grow in our heart's desire to recognize the opportunities in front of us, yes, it's great to then anticipate it growing beyond even our borders. But if the church, the local church, loses its passion for reaching the people within arm's reach, we will not then still be existing to reach those who are out of reach. We need to maintain a fervency and a passion for the gospel. So I want to challenge you to be thinking about this. So many times we just overlook what God has presented to us. I want to stir you this month to be thinking about the fact that there are faces and there are voices and there are hearts beating all around us. Don't be content to simply put money into an offering plate and expect the duties of this world to go beyond our borders. Let's make sure that we're establishing our own beachhead and that we are a church that is local as much as we are global in our thinking. May God encourage us to be giving of the gospel as we're living the gospel. Let's stand together. We're going to give us an opportunity to sing as a way of closing. But I want to encourage you to be thinking right now in your own heart, where you're standing, Lord, what will you have me to give up, to do, to be that missional-minded person, even here, right now? Well, anything I've learned through COVID, it has taught us to be so introverted, inward thinking, to protect, to hovel up, to be almost so scared to get in contact with people. The church needs to be embracing the pandemic. The church needs to be out there. And as much as anything, this is the opportunity we have to give answers to the fear. And yes, there is safety. Yes, we can do what's necessary. But don't let it stymie the reason why we're here. Let's be burdened with the gospel. May that be our heartbeat. Father, I pray that you will help us as we make ready to close, as we think about moving out as of our spots in our row. And Lord, we're going to go out these doors and enter our cars. We're going to go to restaurants. We're going to go to our homes. We have neighbors and coworkers and people that are all around us. Some of them don't even speak our language, and yet we're working with them. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'll give us a burden, a passion for souls, for people. Lord, get our eyes up. Lord, let's see the fields. They're white unto harvest. The time is now. Lord, we are the laborers. Lord, we need more of them. As Judy said, Lord, we need people. We need people globally. We need people locally. Lord, we just need to be the people. We need to be the church. Lord, let us be those hands and feet of Christ, the voice boxes, the eyes, the ears. Lord, let us be the summation of your body present where you have us. And so, Lord, continue to give us a burden for these things. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Steady. to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer.
Now each week as we have these missionaries, different ones coming, there's going to be opportunities back in the foyer. We're hoping that you will stop and take note, maybe refresh. If there's prayer cards, you just examine and make sure that, you know, over the course of these next few weeks, there's going to be updates and things like this. There's going to be some new faces. There's going to be people that maybe you've never met before. Don't just rush. And I know right now this is our thing. Okay, we got to get out of here. Do what you can to make sure that you at least remind yourself to pray and to be thinking about these opportunities. And I'm going to ask if Judy and Roy, if you just make yourself available. Roy, we've got to be a little more cautious with, I know, because we've got to be careful with Edie's health as well. But make sure that you get by and greet them and let them know that you'll be praying for them. We appreciate you being here today. Looking forward to what God has in store throughout this month. God bless you. You are dismissed.